Good afternoon and welcome everyone on this beautiful lazy after Sunday afternoon. You're listening to the Dr. Staffel program and your smile matters. I'm Dr. Ed Staffel, a dentist practicing here in San Antonio, trying to bring you updated information about oral health and systemic health. Do this as a public service and try to answer your questions and give you information. Our board screen is on the blink today, but we can take your calls. If you want to call in, we can work around it. We may be a little bit awkward with it, but we can take your calls. So the number is 599-5555, and I can answer questions about dental problems that you may have. You may want more information. You want to comment on some of the programs that we've had and some of the material that we put on in the past. And you can also have our podcast. We have over 8 years of podcast archives, and that address is staffelgds.podomatic.com. A lot of interesting guests, a lot of interesting subjects available, and more coming on all the time. We try to keep things fresh and keep material very appropriate and get things out to the public that people don't hear about very much. And that's the purpose of what we try to do. From an oral health standpoint, a dental standpoint, and how it ties into general health, there's a huge connection. So thank you for listening, and please call in. We will work through the board up problem. And 599-5555. Give us a call if you have something, or if you just want to talk about something of the oral health, systemic health situation, or just oral health, or a dental problem, give us a call, 599-5555. Now, just wanted to remind you, here we are in Jaloon and weddings and graduations all over the place. And one of the things that is so wonderful that has improved so much is teeth whitening and teeth whitening technology. And the prices really come down wonderfully well. And we know so much more about teeth whitening now. When I started doing this in the mid-70s, we started off with glyoxide. Now, glyoxide is an old, old remedy that's been used to help with mouth sores. And it's nothing more than carbamine peroxide, which is essentially the same material that's used now, except it's been modified quite a bit, because the original carbamine peroxide could create a lot of sensitivity to the gums and to the teeth. But it worked beautifully if you could tolerate the pain and the burning gums. It was a problem, but it sure did whiten the teeth. And that was just plain old glyoxide, and it's still around, still used as a dental remedy and as a antiseptic type of thing. But now we fast forward to this day and time, and good night alive, teeth whitening has changed so much. We know more about the biology of color. We know about internal stains. We know about external stains and how to treat the same. We know about the pH of these different situations and the temperature, the whitening options. And we now have materials that come in all kinds of strength, from very gentle to a highest concentration, which is 35% hydrogen peroxide, and that's only for chairside whitening, though. That's where the whitening is done, in the dental chair, by the dentist or dental assistant or hygienist. And then the gelling agents, the concentration is then reduced to 25% to 30%, because studies have shown that the lower levels of hydrogen peroxide in a gel form are just as effective as higher levels in the liquid form. So these are some of the things that have changed tremendously the comfort level of the whitening and the whitening delivery system. And even we have systems that are even so bad that, not so bad, we have systems that are so good that they can take out tetracycline stain, which is one of the worst stains to treat. And it can be done comfortably. And that's the thing about the whitening technique now. It's a very comfortable system. It's very effective. And but there's something to keep in mind is if you choose to go to a whitening system and getting your teeth whitened, and if you're going to have a lot of dental work, it's usually wise to do that at first, or just having a small amount of dental work, especially in the front. Get those teeth whitened first. And it's very comfortable now. The materials, they used to be quite uncomfortable, but that's changed completely. One system in mind that I have in mind particularly is one they call GLOW, G-L-O-O, G-L-O. It's very effective. It's very comfortable. It's very inexpensive as well. And then, of course, you've got over-the-counter take-home things, over-the-counter. But whitening, it's not a... You can spend a lot of money on over-the-counter things and not get the treatment, especially if the diagnosis is not there. Because there's sometimes... If you have a restoration in place, that's not going to change any at all. You can't bleach those up. So it's usually best to have a dentist do the whitening, and it's so effective now. And this is such a great time of year because of Father's Day coming up, weddings, graduations. It's a great, great gift, and people love it, especially teenagers and college students. They love the whitening effect of the teeth. So give us a call. That's Dr. Staffelin McLean if we can help you with that. Our number is 210-341-2569. 210-341-2569. And the change in the tooth color is so wonderful and is so, and when it comes in a gift form, oh my goodness, people really appreciate that and remember that. Now, there's one other little trick that I want to pass on in teeth whitening. One of the best things that you can do, you typically will have trays that you'll take home. Trays are made of clear plastic, comfortable plastic. And this is loaded with the material that eventually turns into hydrogen peroxide. That's the main ingredient that's doing that, and it's in a gel form. And the hydrogen peroxide that you buy in the drugstore is good for gums, but it's not going to whiten your teeth much. You can brush with it, and it's fine. You may get some whitening out of brushing with hydrogen peroxide off the store, but it's not too likely that you're going to get the effect that you want. So that's why a dental examination and teeth whitening is so important for this type of thing. So a little tip to keep in mind is if you choose to have your teeth whitened, you keep your trays and make sure they're in good condition. And then once a month, you take an add-on the whitening gel into the trays and wear it all night or a suitable time just to keep the whitening of the teeth from slipping back to its original shade because it will fall back. Anything that stains a white shirt is going to stain a tooth. So you can take and put a little bit of the whitening gel, and you can buy these gels. It's best to make sure that they're fresh gels because the hydrogen peroxide in these gels deteriorates rather rapidly, especially with heat. And if you have gel on hand, you want to make sure that you keep it in the refrigerator. And then once a month at least, take and load those trays with your whitening gel and wear it for either 30 minutes or overnight. This will keep the teeth up considerably. Now, another thing with the teeth whitening is if you're going to have some laminates done or porcelain teeth done, but particularly laminates, it's always wise and always best to go ahead and whiten your teeth first before you have the laminates done, because it's much easier to build the thinnest, most ideal porcelain restoration if it doesn't have to block out a lot of shade, dark shades. So what that means is if you're going to have your laminates done, it's so important to get your teeth whitening done before you do this. And then the laminates can be constructed very nicely and very thin. And then you do the same thing with the trays that I talk about. And that is, after your laminates are done, after you've bleached your teeth or whitened your teeth, and then you've had your laminates done, you'd have trays made, and these trays would be loaded with your whitening gel, and you would use those once a month to keep the shade from slipping or darkening. So teeth whitening technology, it's really great nowadays. It's a great way to have a change in your smile, and it's very comfortable, and it's very inexpensive as well. So keep that in mind. It's something, and it's you're going to have the best effect and probably save the most money by having a dentist help you with this and diagnose your problem and make sure that because these whitening gels come in all different strengths, and sometimes there are fillings that have to be done first, like in the front teeth. There can be what we call composite fillings. They're tooth-colored fillings. If they have darkened and the teeth have darkened as well, it's wise to get those fillings, those dark fillings, replaced first, again, before you have the laminates done. In other words, you would take and whiten your teeth, then do the fillings if you had them, and then put the laminates on top of that. And then you're going to have something that really works well for a long period of time, and it's something that can be maintained real well, especially with a little monthly touch-up with those trays. So I just pass that on. This is a great, great way to have a beautiful smile and change your smile and have that done. Now, just want to talk briefly about chronic oral ulcers. If you have something in your mouth, that a sore that doesn't go away, you want to be sure and get into the dentist and have it checked out, because it can be a number of different things. It could be a Epstein-Barr virus. It could be a cancer, a malignancy. It could be a squamous cell carcinoma, a lymphoma, a salivary gland carcinoma. There are different things. And having an oral cancer exam is so important, but especially if you have a lesion or an oral ulcer in the mouth that's been in there for a month or 2 months, you don't want to let that go, and especially if you have a tobacco habit. And you have infectious ulcers. That is, they can be from bacterial, they can be from tuberculosis ulcers. They can be from syphilis. They can be from other bacteria. And then you have funguses. And these will cause long-standing oral ulcers. And then there are viruses. A virus like cytomegalovirus, which is a part of a herpes system. And the Epstein-Barr virus, which is, again, part of the herpes simplex 1 system out of 8 categories there. So if you have something that's not clearing up and it's been there for a month, 2 months, 3 months, be sure and get that checked out, because it could be something really serious and you can have tremendous loss of bone and damage to the gums and can be easily headed off. And these things can be treated. Once they're identified, they can be treated real nicely. So that's the key thing. So keep that in mind. Don't allow any lesion to stay in your mouth undiagnosed by the dentist or the hygienist. And if you have a problem like that and you want to check in with us, give us a call. Dr. Staffelin McGlynn, our office number is 210-341-2569. 210-341-2569. That's Dr. Staffelin McGlynn. All right, now then, going to talk about today. We've been talking about sleep disordered breathing for a long time, and I have a nice announcement. We have I should be able to get Dr. Jose Barrera. I had him on once, and he's so busy. He teaches. He's retired from the military 25 years, and he headed up the program at BAMSI, and he studied out of Stanford, and he teaches physicians how to do surgery of the mouth, of the throat. And he teaches surgeons from Mayo Clinic. He's one of the world's best in this type of thing, and we have him here in San Antonio. He's been on my radio show last year, and I think I should be able to get him soon, because his information is so massive, it's just hard to track him down. It's hard to get him to break loose of his schedule. But I think I can swing that up coming pretty soon. And especially the first thing that we're going to talk about with sleep disordered breathing, it's in children. And, you know, it's just like I was talking, Randy was asking me what we're going to talk about. And I said, well, it's about sleep disordered breathing in children. He said, well, I've never heard of that. And this is so true. You don't hear about this, and yet it's one of the it's a tremendous, tremendous problem. In an article by Beth S. Hopkins, who's a family nurse practitioner, she's a certified otorhinolaryngology head and neck nurse. She sums it up really good that pediatric sleep problems, pediatric being children, they may impact every aspect, nearly every aspect of the life of a child and his or her family. How is that? Well, sleep is fundamental to health, but it's estimated that approximately 25% of all children experience problems with sleep. Then these numbers increase in relation to the age of the child to a staggering estimate of 40% of adolescents that they will experience significant sleep disturbance. And this was out of a study in 2010. So pediatric sleep problems, they can impact nearly every aspect of the life of a child and his or her family, and the consequence of sleep disturbance in children on physical, emotional, cognitive, and psychosocial health and well-being is far-reaching, ultimately resulting in cardiovascular conditions, growth and development delays, poor cognitive function, and academic failure. So, this is what, if you have children, grandchildren, or you have friends who have children, and this is something that you want to learn about and pass this information on. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine and the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine is trying awfully hard to get this information out to the public, because people just don't know. And so interesting that the sleep people, the sleep clinic, Texas Sleep Clinic, among others, they have four physicians, MD physicians, that treat children. They only have one for adults. It's such a huge problem. Well, you can imagine, staggering estimate of 40% of adolescents will experience significant sleep disturbance. And then if you add on to that, that they're looking at computers and their cell phones, which further disturbs their sleep. And an interesting thing that came up, and I just passed this on because I thought it was quite interesting. A long time ago, I talked about oxytocin. Oxytocin is a hormone that when you hug somebody, it releases oxytocin. It really makes you feel great. And that's why hugging people is so helpful, so valuable. And what they found is that when you're touching the keyboard of the cell phones, it releases a touch of oxytocin. So people, especially children, are drawn in, and adults, but especially children are drawn into touching and using these phones because it feels good. It gives them a feeling, an additional feeling. But anyway, that's a sidebar. Outlier, as they say. So the interesting thing is the psychological health and well-being of a child is far-reaching with sleep disturbance. So, and this takes a toll on parents. Mounting stress and excessive fatigue. And especially with children staying up late at night working on computers, which disrupts their circadian rhythm. And you find them always on their computers at night as well as their cell phones. It's changing their lives significantly. And then if you add in the fact that they're going to have, as an adolescent, a 40% chance of a sleep disordered breathing, you've got a monster on your hands, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. Pediatric healthcare practitioners are trying to screen children for sleep disturbance as well. So what's the symptom? Well, the main symptom is snoring, of course. Several studies have suggested that the presence of snoring is a primary indicator for sleep disturbance. And yet the presence of snoring often is not regarded as problematic by parents, and that's where trouble gets in. Patients or parents just think, well, it's child is snoring, maybe the adults snore. It's just something that everybody does. Well, we know better now, and especially with children. So if that's the case, you want to get to a get this diagnosed. And a dental office like ours, Dr. Staffelin McLinn, we can diagnose this. No, we can't diagnose it. We can screen for this. Dentists in Texas are not allowed to diagnose sleep disordered breathing. We are allowed to screen, and we have little devices that you take home, and you can wear these devices, and it can give us a lot of information and determine whether or not you need to go further to have a polysomnogram and have a program, a formal sleep diagnosis with a sleep doctor, a board-certified sleep doctor. As I said, just one facility. And we have several facilities in town, and they're great. And just one facility, the Texas Sleep Clinic, has one adult physician, and they are one sleep doctor for adults. They have four sleep doctor, board-certified sleep doctor physicians for children. That's how bad the problem is, how widespread the problem is. And it starts with babies. That's the interesting thing. I didn't know this until we started getting information from this group that babies frequently have the problem, and it's has a huge effect on their growth and their development and their immune system, how they respond to different infections. So the American Academy of Otolaryngology recommends preoperative polysomnogram for all children with sleep disordered breathing who are obese, because obesity has a factor in this whole thing. And any child that has craniofacial abnormalities, neuromuscular disorders, Down syndrome, and other at-risk diseases that may lead to surgical complications or death. So the pediatric physicians are really on this, and as well as the American Academy of Otolaryngology, and that's where Dr. Jose Barrera is so valuable and so valuable person to be referred to. And post-operative reduction in sleep disordered breathing has been reported in a large number of children after adenotonsillectomy, that is, taking out the adenoids and tonsils. And that continues to be the first line of treatment in children with obstructive sleep apnea syndrome. So having somebody on board like Dr. Jose Barrera, and I'll have him on soon, I think we'll be cleared to have him on soon. Plus, there are a lot of physicians, a lot of ear, nose, and throat. So we have a great lineup of ear, nose, and throat specialists in town. And they can do the adenoids and tonsils as well. But again, diagnosis, 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 because it can affect this child's total development, and especially children who are considered to be obese. That's something that you don't hear about. Is there sleep disordered possibilities? So early recognition of sleep disorders in children, this is paramount, and by healthcare practitioners. And we can help you with that. That's Dr. Stafflin McLean. Our number is 210-341-2569. And remember, the removal of adenoids and tonsils is still considered to be the gold standard for treatment of children with obstructive sleep apnea. It's so interesting because a long time ago, I can remember in the 60s and 70s, tonsils were removed pretty regularly, and then they came along that tonsils should not be removed. And so there's been controversy in medicine through the years, but it's never this sleep disordered breathing is something in recent times that has come about. So bring that to your attention. It can have a huge effect on how you as a parent are able to cope with children who are having developmental disorders or different behavior problems and so on, how they operate in school, how they do in school. There's just what their growth patterns are. A lot of this can be just from something mechanical such as fractured sleep, a fractured sleep pattern. So keep that in mind. If you need more information, you give our office a call. Dr. Stafflin McLean, our number is 210-341-2569. Now along this line, I have just finished up with a patient, and this patient is so ecstatic about his treatment, he wants to come on the show and talk about his particular experience. And the experience is about his teeth. Through the years, he had worn them down severely. And bruxism, and that's clenching of teeth, that is one of the things that is a complication of sleep apnea or obstructive sleep apnea, that we're finding that grinding of teeth is, especially when it's severe, there many times is an underlying problem of obstructive sleep apnea. In this patient's case, he had already been diagnosed with obstructive sleep apnea, but it was too late as far as his teeth. His teeth had been ground down. He had really worn down his teeth severely. So we were able to take and rebuild his teeth, recapture the lost dimension. That is, he had lost so much dimension on the height of the teeth. We were able to recapture the height of the teeth. He had no smile at all. We were able to restore the smile and the comfort to the muscles. All of this we were able to restore to the original height and design of his teeth when he first got them into his, when he was first born. I mean, they erupted into his mouth. And it's like night and day, and he's so overjoyed with this. He wants to come on the show, and we're going to have him on soon, so he can talk about his experience and help people to understand how serious a problem this is. And he had been wearing a CPAP, or he wears a CPAP, and so that had been diagnosed, but it was too late before he got to the point of being able to get to where his teeth could be restored. But this is a situation where you wouldn't want to have your teeth restored and then have, without having a diagnosis on the obstructive sleep apnea or fractured sleep. So this all is so carefully, so important. And that's the thing I want to get out. This information is huge, just huge. Now, what about dentures? What about people that have dentures and snore? And, well, this is a problem. And that's where dental implants can be so valuable. And we have all kinds of dental implants available. We have what we call mini implants. We have implants in all different sizes. And we have implants that can be angled. Dental implants is a wonderful world. And especially for denture wearers. And it can be so helpful for people who have dentures, first of all, to get them stabilized with dental implants, and then if they have a snoring issue, to have a treatment for the sleep-disturbed breathing. Now, another thing I want to keep in mind, there are several different designs. We have over 150 designs in far as dental appliances, because dental appliances about 70-80% of the time can be the solution for these sleep disordered breathing diagnoses. It can also be used in combination with the mask, the CPAP mask. And it can reduce the flow of oxygen if by a correctly created dental appliance can reduce the oxygen flow of the mask and make it much more comfortable by wearing the dental appliance in addition to the CPAP face mask. So that's something else. Again, this is the advancement of things moving on. How wonderfully well this whole process is coming along, the information getting out, and we have these oral appliances. We even have temporary oral appliances now that to see how you can get along with one of these. They work beautifully, and they have the features where they can adjust to your opening of the mouth. Then there's dental appliances. They work beautifully. They can work beautifully also in combination with a CPAP machine. That's the point I want to make. Now, with dental appliances and correction of sleep disorders, they have to be, and should be, and I mentioned should be because a lot of patients don't follow up on this, because these appliances can move your teeth around as if they were orthodontic appliances. So to prevent that, there's a very simple exercise that we provide and help the patient use first thing in the morning, about a 5-minute exercise of correcting any tooth movement that's created by any dental mandibular advancement appliance. And this is so terribly important, because typically a patient will have an appliance made and they won't come back because they're doing good, they solve their problem, and then they come back in a year or so on, and their bite has been changed quite a bit, which should not happen. It can be prevented. And so it's very important that if you have to have a sleep appliance, sleep dental appliance, we call it a mandibular advancement appliance, if you have to have this, it's so terribly important that you have dental follow-up treatment on a regular basis till everything is titrated and make sure that the exercises are done properly and on time. And the result is a great long-term device. The devices usually will last about 2 to 3 years. A dental device will usually last 2 to 3 years before they're worn out because they take a lot of pressure. So these are things that can have a huge benefit to people and with adults. Fatigue is one of the major things. Fatigue is one of the major things that's cleared up once sleep-disordered breathing is corrected. So, recently did the sleep device, home sleep device, we have one that we have for our patients where you sleep 2 nights in a row with this. It's like a little wristwatch, and it has a finger cot that checks your oximetry on it, measures your oxygen saturation of your blood. And you take that home. We let our patients use it for 2 nights, and it checks and screens to see if we need to send a person to polysomnogram physician and diagnosis. Recently, and this is be so interesting, I'm so anxious to see this particular person. She came back and she used it 4 nights in a row, and it was so catastrophic of her holding her breath. It was terribly catastrophic of how long she was holding her breath. It'd be interesting to see. I just can't imagine her being able to perform regularly throughout the day. She had been picked up, her cardiologist had picked up on the fact, because her daughter had reported that when she's at breakfast, she will fall asleep in a straight chair, straight back chair. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes out. But that's the point is, these sleep screening devices that we have for our patients to take home and check and see what their situation is so that a screening can be made and then further determination as to whether or not a sleep diagnosis needs to be made, because it has a great deal. One of the biggest problems with sleep fractured breathing is the problem of stroke, and they're finding that there are a lot of little strokes that occur with a sleep disordered breathing. It doesn't have to be the big debilitating stroke, but they're apparently constantly mini TIAs, these very small strokes that occur, especially when a person has a sleep disordered breathing and is not using a device to correct that problem. So stroke is one of the huge problems. Hypertension, that is blood pressure, drug-resistant blood pressure, is another huge problem. Atrial fibrillation is another huge problem. Irregular heartbeat, diabetes, all of these things can be associated with this problem of sleep. So typically what will happen, patients have these symptoms. They go to a physician. The physician will give them pharmaceuticals when actually it is a mechanical problem of the shape of the throat. And then it's been determined also that you have 22 muscles involved in breathing of the throat. And as you get over 60, these muscles deteriorate in their function. So this complicates the problem. 22 muscles involved in this breathing of the throat. So the whole thing that I'm trying to get across here is how important this is for babies, adolescents, teenagers, people of all ages, and it can affect your health, your longevity, your medicines that you take. It's a huge, huge benefit to get this diagnosed. And if you have snoring, or if you've been observed holding your breath, these are the symptoms that are really a problem. But in children, the seriousness of it cannot be overestimated because of the gigantic numbers. And even in adults, it's estimated that there are 40 million Americans that have obstructive sleep apnea that's undiagnosed. 40 million, and there could be much more than that. We do a very careful screening on all of our patients and checking for the shape of the throat as well as symptoms that they may have, and that's just part of the everyday examination that we do, very thorough examination. So, and then we've talked a couple of weeks ago about obesity and the possibility of that being an effect of this sleep-disordered breathing. And you have leptin, which has to do with fat. And you have ghrelin, which has to do with fat. You have insulin that has to do with fat. You have cortisol, which has to do with fat. You have growth hormone, which has to do with fat. And all of these things are tied into obstructive sleep apnea. So this is not something to take lightly. And especially if you're suffering from fatigue, and undiagnosed fatigue, and you haven't had testing for the with a polysomnogram, it's something to keep in mind, and that's what we try to get this information out, so you will have the ability to take appropriate steps to get treatment. First is diagnosis, and then to get treatment, and then keep in mind that you're dentist is a integral part of all of this, both in the beginning screening and then in the treatment of the disorder. Dentists can have a huge benefit and help. And if the dentist is trained in this, we have to be permitted by the Texas State Board of Dental Examiners in order to be able to do screening. And our office is permitted for that. It's the office of Dr. Staffel and McLinn. Our number is 210-341-2569. 210-341-2569. And along this line, I've talked to you before about the study in the Japan News that was in Tokyo on December 17th and 18th, and they came out that to maintain muscles, the elderly need slightly more protein than the middle-aged. And deficiency in multiple types of vitamins can weaken the body, so you should consume a variety of foods for vitamins, of course. That's B12, C, D, E, and folic acid, calcium, magnesium, iron, and zinc. But most important that they found is that eating protein, which would include lean beef and skinless, boneless chicken breast and salmon fillets, and gee whiz, the chicken that, for instance, HEB has, no hormones, no added compounds, no antibiotics, really good, healthy chicken. But the point is that this study in Japan, in Tokyo, determined that as you get older, especially 70 years or older, you really need to be eating protein, because that's going to keep your muscles, your muscle strength up, and your muscles from turning to fat, which is what happens. There is another report out saying the same thing, another study. So just pass that on, because I mean, I know we have a lot of listeners in the 70 age group on up, and you really need to be eating lean beef or lean meat and skinless chicken breasts and fish like a salmon fillet on a regular basis. And of course, eggs, they're one of the best foods around. We've been told for a long time that there are problems with all these foods. Now it's being reversed. Analyzing the data shows that all the things that we've been told, from butter to eggs to these beef proteins, is not accurate. So, when analyzing, on the same report, when analyzing reasons that people age 75 or older needed national geriatric nursing care, frailty was given as a reason for over 50%. That's people 75 or older. Frailty was given a reason for over 50%, surpassing lifestyle diseases such as strokes, which were a reason for 30%. So frailty is the number one thing, and that's the whole thing. To keep from being frail, elderly people need to follow dietary guidelines for the middle aged and restrict their diet to be healthy. And it's necessary to consume the required amount of protein needed to preserve muscle mass. When you age, your muscles turn to fat. Even if your weight stays the same, your ability to synthesize protein effectively also diminishes. The best proteins are animal proteins such as meat, fish, and dairy products. Doing muscular strength training in conjunction with proper protein intake can help to increase muscle mass and muscle strength, even for the elderly. So it's necessary to consciously eat vegetables, as the intake of vitamins and minerals becomes even more important as we grow older. Now, getting sufficient dental care to allow you to eat for as long as possible, and any food that you want to eat, is also key. So, just wanted to pass that on. I think that's really valuable information, because we hear a lot of directions on the other side that meat is not that important, and the studies are showing in Japan that that's not true. Japan are some of the healthiest people on the planet, and they found with this two-day study in Tokyo on December 17th and 18th that eating these foods is going to keep you from being frail and keep you out of the walkers and wheelchairs and the like. The best proteins being animal proteins, such as meat, fish, and dairy products. So that's, just wanted to pass that on. And then doing muscular strength training in conjunction with proper protein intake can help to increase muscle mass and muscle strength. So there you have it, the latest news on that. I think that's really valuable news. As I see my population patient changing quite a bit all the time, and see that they are developing frailty. So this is something to keep in mind in order to not become frail, which is a major cause of aging. So, thank you so much. We're just about running out of time here. I can't stress enough how wonderfully valuable it is, if you have any problems with sleeping, fractured sleep, if you have children that have the same problems, getting it diagnosed and then getting it treated, sleep is everything. That's where your body does its repairing. Getting down into the delta sleep, that's where your body does its repairing. And if you're not getting down into that level, and if you're snoring or having fractured sleep or obstructive sleep apnea where you're holding your breath, this is going to have huge long-term effects both on adolescents, children, adolescents, teenagers, young adults, millennials, the age, it just goes on. And especially with the tendency to stay awake all night or stay awake up late at night working on computer projects, this affects your health. And everybody knows we have enough problems with health as it is and the correction of it. So thank you very much for listening. Remember, this is a great time to have gifts for teeth whitening. And also, you can live, the studies show that you can live longer just by brushing your teeth thoroughly at night. You ought to spend about 5 or 10 minutes at your teeth at night, at least brushing your teeth at night, and then flossing after brushing. It's going to increase your longevity significantly. Brushing, flossing, and seeing your dentist twice a year, that's going to increase your longevity even more significantly. These are easy, easy things to do. They don't cost a lot of money, and they can make a huge impact in your lifestyle and your health. Thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you soon next week. Bye-bye.